Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Steve S.N. Weddle is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his love of writing, but what it's been like for him to literally share that with the world. I got a chance to read Steve's book, It Starts With a Kiss. We're going to talk a little bit about the characters in the book, and as well as what it's been like for him to hear from readers around the world about what they're thinking about it. Steve, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello, Cyrus. It's great to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine, Steve. I know there's a really big time difference between us, so I appreciate you being able to join us at this late hour where you are. You know, Steve, let's talk about the book. What has it been like for you to literally hear from people around the world about their thoughts about it?
It's so exciting because, you know, years ago when you wrote a book, you're really very much in your own country and your own area, but now it's a global phenomenon. And I just had no idea there'd be this international reaction to the book because although the book is actually set in the States, you know, I'm writing as an English author and it was first published in England, but to get this sort of global response is just mind-blowing, really.
Exactly. And you, as you mentioned, of course, you know, it was first published there, you know, in Great Britain. And now, of course, as you said, you know, to hear from readers here in the States about their thoughts about it has to be an amazing thing. And you created these characters that are so real, Steve. That's the other thing. I mean, have you always known that storytelling was a gift that you had?
Well, I suppose when I was in my early 20s, I did have a go at writing a couple of novels, and they're very much aimed at a younger market, really, for children and teenagers. And they were there, but not quite there. You know, I had a few sort of good responses from publishers, but they didn't think they were quite ready for publication. So I thought, well, I better get a career, because I didn't think I was going to make one out of writing. So I worked in television as a producer for 25 years with BBC.
Right.
TV, but at the back of my mind always was, oh, I want to write that book, and actually it was when I sort of got towards 50, being 50, and it's a bit of a sort of milestone in your life, and you start looking back on how you've lived your life, and if you could have your time again, and that's when the idea for the book came to me, because I thought, well, that's what I'd like to write now, a book about, you know, how you stand in life as you sort of get older, but have still got years ahead of you to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And so that's very much the sort of the theme that first came to my mind. You know, what if you could actually have a second chance in life? What if you could have another go? Would you make the same mistakes you made first time round, or would you get it right if you had a sort of an extra chance?
Yeah, and I think that is what people are definitely getting from it. I love the fact that you're able to get us into the mind and the thoughts of the main character, Jennifer Green. Steve, you know, how did she come to you? Because, you know, it is so interesting to see how she was able to kind of just, you know, kind of meander through life for a time and then to be able to get this amazing opportunity to kind of reset. You know, how did she come to you?
Yeah, well, I suppose, the first thought I had when I wrote the book was to actually write it from a male perspective, because, you know, that's what I am. And
yeah,
But then I started just to look around me at, you know, friends and relatives, and I'd noticed that if you're talking about women in their late 40s, early 50s, it was much more women who seemed to be reinventing themselves. That's the way I looked at it. They're, you know, were often going off and learning foreign languages or working for a charity or perhaps even having an affair with a toy boy or whatever, you know. I mean, they were just doing things, whereas a lot of my male friends were, you know, quite happy to go down the bar and watch the sports, etc., but, you know, weren't really perhaps, you know, striving so much. And a bit of a generalization, I know. So I suddenly thought, well, perhaps this book would work better from the point of view of a female character. And also, in a way, women are more interesting to write about in one major respect, in that they express their emotions more. So you've got more to play with, in a way. So I wrote the first draft of the book actually in the third person. So I was writing about Jennifer as a sort of an impartial observer, observing the action. And at the end of the book, I sent it off to an editor to have a look at. And she said, well, yeah, it's an interesting idea. I like the concept. But she said, I don't think you're close enough to your main character. And I said, well, what can I do to resolve that? She said, well, I think you should write it in the first person. You should write it as Jennifer. And I suddenly thought, well, can I do this? I just wasn't sure I was, you know, capable of doing it without it sounding artificial and presumptuous and perhaps even a bit creepy in some way. You know, I wasn't sure about it. But I thought, well, she said, give it a go. And so I just tried writing the first chapter as the character. And it was incredible. It really flowed. It just seemed to, it almost wrote itself in a strange sort of way. And so I had a much better feeling. And on the second draft, I sent it back in again. And the first thing she said was, well, you have connected with the character much more vividly, and it works better. There were some changes that had to be made. I mean, inevitably, you get certain things wrong, and the editor was able to put me right. I suppose that feeling of drifting through life, whether you're male or female, it exists, and suddenly you hit this point in life at 50, and you think, well, I've got to do something about this now, because if I don't do something about it now, I'm not going to get another opportunity. And that's really the essence of what the book is about.
Exactly. And I think, too, you know, being able to look at our lives. You know what I thought was so interesting about Jennifer, Steve, is that she had an opportunity to think about, you know, what would I do differently? And what's so great about us is that we have that same opportunity. Has that been one of the fun things to hear from readers, how it kind of made them rethink the way they were living their lives?
Yeah, for sure. I think it does, you know, what has been so exciting for me is the way it's connected with readers. And they go, yes, that's me, that's my life, that's where I'm at the moment. And you know, you don't totally know that's going to happen. You know, it's just an idea, it's a thought, it's a concept you've got in your mind, but when it connects with real people's lives, it's thrilling, to be honest. And that was such a relief, because I didn't really, in my heart of hearts, quite know that whether I was hitting upon something that was genuine and real. I felt it was, but until the public, you know, example it and experience it, you don't know. But that was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think that is so true. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Steve S.N. Weddle is our guest today. He's the author of a book that you guys are going to definitely want to add to your reading list. It's called It Starts With a Kiss. We've been talking to Steve not only about the journey of writing the book, but also the journey of storytelling in itself. You know, it's so interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned your background, Steve, because I think that gives our listeners some perspective on Jennifer's journey. Because, the other thing about the book is it really helps us to not take ourselves so seriously in some respects. And it shows, you know, how really sometimes shallow we can be as individuals, I think. You know, you know, no one knows that better than someone who's been in television, you know, and being able to share some of these stories. So has that also been part of the fun of being able to bring your two professions together?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I love my time in television, and I had great fun doing it, and it was a wonderful experience. But there's no doubt about it. There are an awful lot of egos and drama queens and very fragile people who take life, sometimes far too seriously, and are prone to throwing tantrums. And so when you write your first book, a lot of people always say to you, well, write about what you know. Well, what did I do? I wrote about a woman in America, and I'm a bloke in England. But the one thing I thought, well, I've got to have in there is something that I can connect to personally myself. And so I set part of the book in the world of television, US television, but I have had some experience of visiting US TV stations, so I'd seen certain things. And, you know, really, there's not that much difference in many ways between England and here as far as TV goes. And so I was able to draw on that and draw on all the petty jealousies and the battles. And, you know, because the great thing about Jennifer is, because she's reincarnated almost as a younger woman, but she has the mind of an older woman, so she can be mature about everything. She can see above it, and she can see through it in the way that when we're younger, we can't. And what I was so anxious with the book, I mean, I've read books and seen TV and movies where characters go back in time, but I wanted my character to be young in the here and now, to actually experience what it would be like to be young in 2015 or 2014 when I wrote it. And I thought that made it different and unique.
Yeah, it definitely has done that. One of the ways that you've been able to connect with readers, and one of the ways that we were even promoting this segment, Steve, has been through social media. Twitter has been a place where you and I connected even. You know, what has that been like for you there in real time, you know, to be able to see the support and also get that feedback?
It really is so encouraging for a writer because, before I wrote the book, I wasn't on Twitter or Facebook, and I was encouraged to do it. And I was a little bit sort of, I'm not sure this is for me. But to be honest, it's given me a new lease of life as a writer because, you are working in a vacuum as a writer when you write the book because you're wary about showing it to friends and relatives and partners and, you know, just because, you know, you think, well, this is my baby, I'm not sure I'm ready to show it to anybody. But once the book came out and I was able to get that feedback and support from Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media, it makes you think, well, actually, I am doing something right after all. And there's also that other thing that when you show a book to friends and relatives, you don't know quite how honest they're being because they might just be being nice to you. You know, they could be just saying, oh, yes, well done, it's very good. And, you know, because people want to genuinely be nice. But when it comes to people who I don't know, who I've never met, and are giving me their frank and full opinion, and overwhelmingly, thankfully, it's positive, that is just an inspiration. And also it's an inspiration to make me want to carry on and have another go at writing another book because, you know, at the end of it, I thought, well, am I going to be a one-book wonder and leave it at that? But hearing and reading people saying, oh, no, go on, have another shot, you know, I think, well, yeah, right, that without that, I'm not sure I'd be carrying on.
Yeah, I think that is so interesting. You know, the other thing that I thought about when it came to the offer that Jennifer had, you know, we all, you know, can live life, you know, the way that we want to if we're willing to take the chance. It really began, this adventure would not have happened if Jennifer did not take the chance. Do you also hope that's what we'll be able to realize too, Steve? Because this book would not have happened if you had not taken the chance. So is that something that you also hope that we're able to look at our dreams and say, you know what, it's worth giving it a go?
Well, I think so. And there's actually a quote from George Eliot, the great English novelist, and that I just happened to stumble upon. And it actually goes, "It is never too late to be what you might have been." And I'll just read that again. It's almost worth hearing twice. "It is never too late to be what you might have been." And when I read that, it just sort of hit me like, I thought, well, that's a real truth there. There's something just gnawing away at you when as you read it, that things that should affect me in my life. Because you might think, no, I can't do that now. I mean, it's too late. I can't write the book anymore. I've been a TV producer. I've had a lovely career. I've got a good lifestyle. I don't need to write a book as such financially. But then I thought, no, that George Eliot quote was urging me on. Because, you know, deep inside, I knew that I had the need to tell stories, really. I think a lot of writers will say this, that it's almost, you know, you just got to write because it's like therapy, you know. When something actually emerges, which is worth reading, hopefully, it's even better. But it was that quote and the fact that, and I think this applies to anybody, just think about something in your life that you did years and years ago and you've put to one side. It might have been you wanted to be an actor, well, you know, join a drama group and have another go, why not? And there are all sorts of things which you probably have just dismissed. And very often, I think for people who, you know, been bringing up families and then the children leave home, they're grown up, suddenly there can be a bit of a gap in your life, a bit of a vacuum, and that's when perhaps you can seize the moment and bring up, you know, start doing things again which you thought had long since gone.
Exactly. So true. So true. And I think what an amazing thing for us to be able to realize. And again, to know that regardless of where we live, where we're from, that possibility is there for us if we're willing to do it. And I think that is it. I think that is a great quote that's included in the book as well. I think, you know, such a great thing for us to be able to keep in mind. Again, everyone, Steve Esten Weddle is our guest today. We're talking to him not only about the literary journey for him, but also what it's been like for him to share his characters with the world. And Steve, I have to tell you, it's a beautiful cover. If nothing else gets people's attention, that cover is amazing.
That is fabulous. Yeah. I'm so pleased you think so. And I think, yes, the girl on the front cover, she sort of follows you around the room, doesn't she?
Yeah.
You know,
just,
yeah, very soulful eyes. And, I was really pleased with the cover. I'm glad about that. That's good.
Yeah, it definitely catches your attention and makes you want to know what this is about, and it really is a fascinating story. You know, the other thing I want to talk to you about, Steve, and then we're going to let our listeners know how they can get the book too. The other thing I want to talk to you about is now you're an example for other people. By your doing this, by your writing this book, by your having conversations like this, you're showing other people about the importance of doing the same. I mean, what has it been like for you to hear from other authors as to, you know, you've been able to inspire and to give them advice?
Yeah, actually, I gave a little talk a few weeks ago to a writers' group in a town not far from here in England, and it was so encouraging to do it because I wasn't sure whether my experiences would mean that much to them, but they were. It wasn't just because it was me, but they were hanging on every word in the sense because it was another writer in the room, and they just wanted to hear what I'd gone through to get to this stage, and I can relate to that because if you know when I had a chance to meet authors before I wrote this book, it's a very important thing. But and it is lovely to meet other authors once you've been published because. I did this radio show in England a while back, and there was an author on the panel. It was a whole thing about romantic fiction. And she said the one thing I was most pleased about was that I think as an author, what you really hope to hear is she actually said to me she thought the book was really well written. She didn't say about the plot or the character. She just said it's well written. She said the words fall off the page. And sounds very egotistical me repeating this, but of all the comments, the compliments that I've had, and I've had criticisms as well. I know nothing is ever perfect, but that was the one. You know, to hear from an author to say it's well written means so much. But anything I can do to encourage people to have a go themselves. And the best thing is, everyone, because they do say, don't they, everyone's got a book inside them. Well, you know, but most of us, and me included until very recently, never did anything about it. Well, do something about it. Just sit down one day, get out the word processor or write it down on a piece of paper. Just see what comes, see what flows. Because when I first wrote this story, I had an outline to the plot and I knew what broadly was going to happen. But so much additional, so many additional events occurred as I was writing it as well and then went into the story. It was such an exciting process because, as I said, the book started to sort of write itself at times, and it was almost a sort of a mystical experience thinking, where is this coming from? But it was me. I mean, obviously it was. But I would say to writers, I think what sometimes deters writers from sitting down and having a go is that they worry that what will come out won't be that great. And sometimes it's not. Some days you write and you look back at it the next day and you think, oh, that really is a bit disappointing. And am I really up to it? Am I ever going to be a writer? But then another day you'll write something and it's just, so much better and encouraging. So just do it. You know, don't hang about. Don't talk about it. Give it a go.
Yeah. I think that is the great advice, I think, for us all. Again, everyone, Steve S.N. Weddle has been our guest today. Great conversation with you today, Steve, joining us live today from England to discuss his literary journey and his book, It Starts With a Kiss. The book is available on Amazon.com. You guys can get it there. Definitely make sure you guys take advantage of the offer. It's very reasonably priced on Kindle as well there. Steve, how can our listeners stay connected with you, too?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I've got a page. It Starts With a Kiss, and if you just go onto Facebook, it's the It Starts With a Kiss page, and you can go direct to there, and we have quite a lot of conversation on that page. In fact, I gave the interview tonight a plug, or today, I should say, or this afternoon, and that's a great place to catch up. And just one other quick thing, sorry. I mean, the other thing that I've noticed, and it is that I think the book does chime very well and connect well with an American audience because ultimately it's a very optimistic book, and I do think the U.S. fundamentally is still a very optimistic place. And much as I love England and I don't want to do England down, we are renowned a bit over on this side of the water on the pond for being a little bit pessimistic sometimes. And whereas I think in the States, everyone is always looking to find an answer, to be positive. And I think my book does attempt to do that, and I think it will connect with a U.S. audience. So, I'd just like to thank everybody in the States for their response to it, which has been, you know, superb.
Well, good. Well, we thank you for a great book, Steve, and thank you for a great conversation today. Really glad to have you as a guest.
Oh, well, it's been great talking to you.
The same here. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great edition of Conversations Live. If you came in late and missed part of the conversation with Steve, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. Head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.